The week continues here in the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. We look at Galway and most notably Goodwood as we head towards the latter stages of both festivals. And we're looking forward to a fabulous Friday of racing. I'm delighted to be joined by once again Frank Hickey and Roy DeLargy. We are recording earlier in the week, so we are not sure how the tipping has gone. But if they were, one of them was right on Wednesday, the other was right on Wednesday because they tipped up pretty much the exact same horses. It was two for the price of one, lads, as far as you were coming along. Rory, I'm going to go straight into Goodwood. I'm going to go straight into the Friday, looking at the first race on that card. Again, Goodwood throwing in a nice tricky handicap to kick things off. But this one is something of a curiosity. It's 2.5 miles and I don't think they use stalls, do they, in this?
No, they don't. They start in front of the stands and they go the wrong way up the straight to start with. Something they also do at Salisbury for their -6 races. I don't think this is a tough race to start with. And that's a dangerous thing to say. The trickiest part of this race is the start because it's a flag start. My nap in this last year refused to race, which is a bit of a kick in the teeth. But I'm surprised the middle has come out of this race. You've got two at the very top of the weights. You then had some interesting horses in the entries who weren't declared, and you've got quite a big gap to the bottom weights here, who are rated sort of in the low 80s and lower. And I just think the top two are a class above. So I thought Withhold would jump out and make all the running here. He's not been at his best this season so far, but that's always the way with Withhold. He never runs his best races until past midsummer. He needs at least two runs to get fit. He hasn't won in a while now, and you could argue that he's on the downgrade because after a couple of moderate runs early last season, I say moderate, he ran pretty well in that good 2 mile handicap at Goodwood, but he finished at Newbury. He came here and finished second, making the vast majority of the running in what was a stronger contest, I thought, last year, also on softer ground, which would not suit him. Calling the Wind won that, and Calling the Wind's run plenty of good races since. Elysian Flame and Green Book in behind him. Green Book won again, was a bit of a revelation subsequently. Withhold, I suspect he retains the vast majority of his ability. Yes, he's been a little disappointing in two runs this season, but he's not been that far shy of his best. 6th or 7th in a small field at Chester, when not setting a strong enough pace, and then 5th in the same contest at Newbury last time out. But again, not beaten very far in what was, again, a tactical race. He needs to stretch them. He needs to make it a test of stamina. And when he does, he's a very hard horse to pass. Stepping up to 2.5 miles on quick ground will suit him ideally. And I think Withhold just doesn't see another horse here. And if he does see one, it'll probably be Rishoon late in the day.
Well, they are, as we record, now we're recording on Wednesdays, there could be a lot of price changes, but Withhold is 7-1 as we record, 9-2 Rishoon. He's the favourite, Rishoon. Withhold has got a very, very, unless I'm mistaken for a different horse, Frank, he's got a very special place in your heart.
Oh, he does, yeah.
Is there a car sitting outside your driveway that's got his name on the reg, is it?
No, but yeah, I'll never forget that. I told the whole office, but 3 weeks beforehand, this is an absolute certainty.
This is Irish.
And to be fair, I went on the podcast and said the same thing, and he did it. And I'd had a massive bet on him. So yeah, there was a good few quid. There was a few drinks and maybe a few holidays.
The holidays.
Oh. And some fancy clothes, etc. Bought out of him. And I could see it definitely, but you know, I will take a chance on one a little bit younger, and that's Make My Day for Gary Moore. Bit disappointing in Ascot last time. That was a red hot handicap. He was narrowly beaten on his previous two starts in the flat, over 2 miles in Ascot off American 90 and at Goodwood off American 91, both over 2 miles. Look, this is probably a stronger race than those, but he was a winner off American 90 in 2020 when trained by Rafe Beckett. He's only had 9 starts in the turf. Gary Moore is sure to pop up at some stage this week, I'd imagine. And American 92, I think it's workable. And for me, he'd be my each way selection in the race.
Fair enough. Make my day for Frank, withhold for Rory. By the way, I'm just going to start talking to producer Mark and give you a thumbs up. I forgot to mention at the start of the podcast, there is a brand new initiative, a brand new way of getting involved. It's a free-to-play initiative. It's kind of like pick five winners. Thumbs up has arrived, so I'll continue to talk. You can pick five selections. Go will be included. Check the show notes and you'll be able to link straight to that. And you've got a chance of winning 10 grand. And I reiterate, free to play. So have a go. There's absolutely nothing to lose. All right, a couple of each way selections for the Goodwood Handicap. They thought long and hard about what they were going to name that race. The 225.
Oh, in fairness, its traditional name is the Goodwood Stakes.
Okay.
And then the sponsors came in maybe a decade or so ago and gave it completely different names. So I'm glad that Coral have added the Goodwood back in again. And you can just imagine the word stakes is in there.
There was a great period of racing probably 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, where if you went to an all-weather meeting or if you watched it and you managed to, the race titles were called 0800 for free bets at every race was something or other like that. That was great.
The marketing, rapid race line and whatever.
Yeah,
whatever,
the marketing departments were not as good as they are now. Let's go with that one. Let's move on to the 225. It's the Thoroughbred Stakes. This is a group three and it's over the mile trip for three-year-olds. It's a trappy little contest. Bayside Boy looked a very good two-year-old, but has set some tough tasks as a three-year-old and yet to really strike is the 13-8 favorite. Ryan Moore booked 2-1 check and challenge for Buick and Knight. That's the two Williams. 11-4 Berkshire Shadow. A couple of interesting raiders. One from Germany in Rockigiani, who we did see in the jersey and ran well. He's 8-1. And another one. And we've had a bit of Scandinavian form recently. A lot of joy, of course, running at Galway. You've got another Scandi horse. Are you allowed to say Scandi? Probably not. Hotline Bling is 66-1 off the back of four wins in a row in a track in Scandinavia. Which, Frank, did you price this race up? Did you have to look at that one? Did you?
I'm off today, so I won't have to. I didn't actually price this anti-post, and I won't have to price it either today. So
it was trained here last year. So
yeah, Richard Hand, I think, had it originally, didn't he? Yeah, so there is serious form.
And to be fair, lots of joy. Didn't win the 2 mile handicap.
Correct. It did place though, didn't it?
It did. It came third or fourth.
I think she was. Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was. She was definitely in the top four. Frank, your thoughts on the 225?
I just think at the price, I want to be with Berkshire Shadow. I don't think there's a whole pile between Bayside Boy, Berkshire Shadow, and Check and Challenge. But he's the outsider of the three. And you look at his form last year. He obviously won the Coventry. He was second in the Vintage Stakes here on soft ground, which wouldn't have suited him. Look, he was a bit disappointing on his... I thought he ran a cracker in the Guineas when a five-length fifth, albeit, look, it might not turn out to be the strongest Guineas ever. I'd have my reservations about all the three-year-olds. But again, at Ascot, they finished in a bunch. He was just ahead of Bayside Boy, beaten less than two lengths. Bayside Boy didn't get the clearest of runs there either. But I do think Bayside Boy is probably... and his best with a bit of cut on the ground. And while Berkshire Shadow was a bit disappointed getting beaten by Mighty Ulysses down and listed a company the last day, I just think back here, I'd prefer him to Bayside Boy and Check and Challenge. And as I said, he's the outside of the three, so I'll back
him. Yeah, he currently is at the moment at 11-4. Rory, your thoughts?
I'm with Check and Challenge here, although there are marginal concerns that he needs to be a little bit sharper than he was at Sandown last time out. But I think that defeat at a handicap last time out is arguably the best form in this race. He was second to a really good handicapper in the shape of Sinjari. And despite the fact that he lacks experience, he looked like he should have won that race. He rattled home from a poor position after starting slowly and being settled at the rear of the field. So the move he made through the field was very impressive. If he can do that in a race where he doesn't miss the start, or race freely, and then I think he could be very good indeed. And he's my pick in the race, but there are just one or two slight doubts about how he will how he'll settle. He was too free when he was well beaten in the Guineas as well, that would be a slight worry. But I think he's a late developer. I think he's the best horse in the race if he can be channeled in the right direction. And it's good to see that William Knight won the group two, is it, the York Stakes last weekend?
That is group two now, yeah.
With an old favourite who hadn't won for 20 starts in 2 years. So if he can get a win out of Sir Busker, then it suggests that everything's going very well at the stable, and Check and Challenge gets the pick.
Okay, check and challenge, and watch out for Frank's pick as Burst of Shadow, Bayside Boy, the favorite as we speak. Be interesting to see how that market develops over the next couple of days, because remember, we're recording on Wednesday. Now, we look ahead to the Golden Mile, where no doubt there will be extra places on Paddy Power. This race, due off at 3 o'clock at Goodwood on Friday, and Noble Dynasty is the favorite for Buick and Appleby. Is he another potential handicap? Good thing he's 97 rated. He's won 3 of his last 6 or 7. 4-1 favorite as we record. Shining Blue for, guess who? Godolphin. But this one for Saeed Bin Sarur, unbeaten in 3, is 11-2. 11-2 Jimi Hendrix for Ave Beckett. 15-2 Salem for Simon Ed Crisford. Montasib for William Haggis. I remember winning this in the Colours of the Queen a couple of years ago. 9-1. Not in the Colours of the Queen, 4 of the Queen. 10-1 for Sinjari. 10-1 Rebel Territory. And 12-1 for Ryan Moore's mate, the Terpinator. Back to you, Rory. The Golden Mile, give us a winner. And maybe the second, third.
I'll give you the second. How's that?
Oh, lovely. Okay, yeah. I'm sure we can fill in
the other two. What price is Blue for you with Paddy Power?
But Paddy Power, he is, I'm scrolling, and I went past him. Blue for you, 16-1 as we speak on Wednesday.
I put up Blue for you in an Andy Pulse piece I did for the Irish Field last week. And I was slightly caught in the hop. I didn't realize that he was due to run the following day, hoping to get a penalty to get into this race. He didn't win that race, but he finished second. And he very much backed up the impression he made on his previous start that he was very well handicapped. The worry was he was too well handicapped and he might not get in. This cut up a fair bit, actually. Blue for You was number 30-something on the list, or maybe even 40 on the list, when I looked at this last week. And I thought, he might sneak in, but he's got in at number 15 of a mark of 93. He was actually running off a mark of 96 at York at the weekend, and he was beaten in a photo finish by Gali. Now, I don't think he's particularly well suited by how that race set up, in that it was a small field, tactical affair. They didn't go very quick early on, and then they sprinted up the straight, and he was trying to make his ground away from the others and from further back than ideal, which is exactly what he'd done in his previous start. He very much caught the eye again when only beaten half a length in a very well contested handicap, won by Eileen Dew, as we're told the owners would like that horse pronounced. So that form has worked out already with Eileen Dew winning again since. And Blue for You looks very well handicapped off a mark of 93 here. Meeting Eileen Dew on £3 better terms for getting beaten half a length. He's obviously a slightly tricky ride. He made the running at Sandown 3 starts ago. I don't think that particularly suited him. And he's shown slightly better form when coming from off the pace with a visor fitted in those last 2 starts. If visor goes on again, he will definitely get a strong pace to run at. And I'm hoping that stall one is a good draw. It's historically, you want to be drawn low in this race. Plenty of years where there's been quite a strong draw bias towards the low numbers. I don't want him to sit right out the back of the field, but he's capable of racing reasonably handy. So I'm looking for Danny Tudhope to slot him in behind the leaders on the rail and then hope the gaps arrive, which sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. The cutaway was a real help on the first day of this meeting. I don't think there's a cutaway on Friday. I could be wrong there. I think they're doing away with the cutaway.
Frank is shaking his head, suggesting there is not.
Getting rid of it for finance.
Yeah, okay. Which is a shame because it works so well, because it gives you a wider track. It means you can have a bigger maximum field in this race. But it certainly did its job on the first day. And it makes you wonder why more tracks don't have a cutaway, because it seems to cut out a lot of those hard luck stories. But anyway, he's more than capable of getting involved. I think he's one of the best handicapped horses in this race. The slight concern, obviously, is that they give him a run at the weekends. I imagine on the basis that they thought he might need a penalty to get in. But the fact is, if David O'Mara was happy enough for him to get a penalty and run on the race, he must think he's at least, the £3 ahead of his mark that he would have been in that scenario. He's actually lower than he was at the weekend. And I think he has to run well. The fact that he's gone down in photo finishes or gone down narrowly with a slightly awkward head carriage in his last 2 races suggests that he might be the type to finish second and third in these races rather than win them. But I still think he's each way value as it stands, and definitely value to stick in Forecast and Tricast.
Yeah, yeah, or Place Only if you want to go down that route. So Blue for You, it would be apt enough an ex-Dermot Weld horse would win this week, a Goodwood handicap, I suppose. Right, Frank, your thoughts on the Golden Mile?
Yeah, I like Rebel Territory for Amanda Parrott. It's a 2 starts at Goodwood. He finished second. And he won off 82 in a 3-1 handicap at last year's festival. It's only defeat since that course win was when he stepped up 10 furlongs at Salisbury. Don't think he stayed. He won at Newmarket off 88 last October, won his reappearance at Sandown off 93. The second Ouzo was only beaten a length by Sinjari in a decent Sandown handicap, despite not getting a clear run recently. I like the way he travels. I think he's a fair draw on 9. And yeah, I think he's got a really good chance. We're under him at 10 to 1. Keeping him on side.
Yeah. I'm glad you didn't say shop around.
Yeah, but I did it. 16s out there.
Rebel territory from the Rebel himself, Brian Kickey, and a blue for you for Rory in the Golden Mile. Extra place, no doubt, on Paddy Power. Check out the details on Paddy Power. The Qatar Stakes, the King George, the Qatar Stakes, look at me. The King George Qatar Stakes is the big sprint. It's the Group 2 sprint. I'm sure they're desperate to try and get a Group 1 status, but this year it most certainly does not deserve Group 1 status. I think between the top 6 or 7, there's like £3 from 111 rated to about 100 and obviously 108. 7-2 the field. Rassel is the favourite. Mick Appleby. It's 4-1 equilateral for Charlie Hills or Charles Hills. 4-1 Mitt Bahi for Roger Varian. 11-2 Lazuli. 6-1 Cadem. Ryan Moore booked for Charles Hills. Interestingly, 8-1 Aklam Express. Frank, we do not have a Batash, and boy oh boy, we're actually beginning to miss him. When we could smash in a 4-7, this is a poor renewal.
This is a very open renewal, but it's very competitive. I think you can make a case for nearly anything in the race. Look, equilateral was a little bit disappointing in the car, I thought. And I'm going to side with the stablemate, Cadem, here. He was a good winner of the Palace House Stakes back in April. Existent was a very close second. Reopposed here. Twilight Calls was back in fifth. He's off since. But his course, like if you go back to the Stewards Cup in 2019, he absolutely bolted in off America for 107. Like, you thought he was going to be a Group 1 sprinter after that. And he did shape okay in the Diamond Jubilee, maybe, I think, the following year. But the ground was a little bit too easy for him, and he didn't quite get home. I think, you know, ground on the faster side is important enough to him. Hopefully they don't water it too much. The booking of Ryan Moore is obviously a positive. And as long as the ground is, you know, on the faster side, I think he's got a solid each-way chance in a wide-open race.
Yeah, he's a bigger price than the stablemate Equilateral, who I know on the Racing Pulse website, and this is something the punters will pick up on. Equilateral's got the second string hat. Now, we don't know the situation between owners and all that sort of crack. Do you think that is significant, Frank? The fact that...
Well, it makes no difference if you're JP McManus or Giggenstown, so...
fair enough. I know punters will be asking it, though. Right, Rory, your thoughts on the King George Qatar?
Yeah, I haven't disagreed with Frank on much here, but I'll disagree on Cadem because... I think while he's a very talented sprinter, I think he's the kind of horse who needs a solo to show his form. He pretty much got a solo when he won the Stewards Cup, racing on the far side of the track and blitzing them for speed. And if you look back at that Palace House, he was drawn in stall one. And it turned out to be quite a strong bias towards the low numbers that day. He jumped into the lead straight away, raced on his own through the race and just held on. And I think he's the kind of horse, you stick him in between other horses who've got a bit of speed as well, and he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it up him. So while he's definitely one of the most talented horses in the race, whether he shows it being drawn in the middle of this field is another matter, especially as he's got very fast horses either side of him in Clarendon House and Pontos. And Pontos is the one I like at a price. I say at a price. Ooh. What price is he?
He was in the double figure market. He's 16 to 1. Yeah, this is the Czech Republic horse, isn't
it? He is the Czech horse. He doesn't exactly have the pedigree for this. But he looked a much improved performer when he won with the usual jockey left off for Frankie Dettori in the Prix de Saint-Georges at Longchamp in May, when he had a previous winner of this race behind him. Sueza, who won this last year, was third behind Pontos at Longchamp. So that gives some strength to the form. He blitzed him that day, made all the running and looked very fast indeed. He then went to Ascot, where Frankie wasn't available, and they put a different Czech jockey on him, not even his usual Czech jockey. Thomas Lukaszek was given the ride, and he showed speed there, but Ascot wouldn't be his kind of track, and he finished in the ruck in the end. I think he'll be a lot happier at Goodwood. I think the Longchamp form gives him a decent chance, but most people won't be looking at the Longchamp form because they don't like having to translate foreign form into English. So they will rely on the form that he showed last time out and suggest that he's outclassed. But I think with Frankie back on board again, and given the early toe he showed at Longchamp, he could surprise them here at a price.
Yeah, he was really fast at Ascot, wasn't he? He made the running for the first maybe two furlongs at Ascot.
Yeah, and to be able to lead that field, exactly, in the back quality shows that he's very fast indeed.
Serious pace for Pontos. You're giggling away in the background, Frank. Is something going on in the background?
I just like that about the you know, not wanting to translate the French form
into English.
Goddamn French with their cues to get in there.
Hashtag Brexit. Yeah, right. That is a couple of shouts. One nice each way price in Pontos and Cadham, who you can back, of course, each way as well. In that is the 3.35. Right, we move to the Queen's Plate Glorious Stakes at 4:10. This is a Group 3 over a mile and a half, but it is restricted to four-year-olds and upwards, which makes it different to the Gordon Stakes the previous day. Rebel's Romance for Charlie Appleby would be Buick is the 7-4 favourite. Frank Hickey, tell us about how the traders have cut this from 5-2 to 7-4 in one hit. Explain that to me.
I didn't do it, so I don't know.
Or ICK, is that it?
Someone may like it. And I suppose you had Kamari, Global Storm in here for Godolphin, and the fact that Buick is on this obviously means it's
maybe
first.
Maybe it's
string.
A jockey booking. Maybe it's a jockey booking
I
thing,
would
yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I imagine the other two have been pushed out a bit.
Okay, right. Global Storm is 11-2. James Doyle, as mentioned, rides that one. Kamari, much bigger price, is 8-1. Frankie Dettori in the blue of Godolphin will carry the red cap. I'll go back to you, Rory, for this, the glorious stakes of the, whatever we're calling it, Queen's Plate Glorious Stakes. Mile and a half the trip. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know where the Queen's Plate bit comes from. I'm guessing that's part of the sponsors.
Probably, Lomar, yeah.
It's been
love a glass of Lomeran as well.
It's been the glorious stakes for years, unless they want to get rid of the word glorious from Goodwood entirely, and they're slowly getting the word Queen's Plate in there instead. I don't know. That's the most interesting thing about this race, though. I didn't like it at all.
Lovely.
I would have given.
You can give it. I've been reasonably keen on
Rebel's Romance, but I think his current price is short enough, and I think it's one of those races that any of these on their day could pop up and win, but none of them are reliable enough to make you want to back them. So I wanted to leave it well alone.
Pass from DeLarge, that's fine. Frank?
Would you believe?
Pass.
I agree with my pass as well. I was going to rename it the potential hound snakes, but yeah, lovely would be harsh.
All right.
Look, like it's in, you just couldn't rely on any of them really. So yeah, I'm staying well away.
That's fine. That's fine. We gamble responsibly here in this podcast. You don't fancy anything, you don't have to have a bet in it. There is a nursery draw for 4:45 over 6 furlongs. We don't have prices yet. This is live on ITV. I did say to you guys, if you have one in it, great. If you don't worry about it. Do you have one in it, Frank Hickey?
I don't know. I thought it was very tricky without pricing it. Look, Bolt Action's one I liked in the Windsor Castle. I thought he ran a big race. Now, the form's worked out really well, and Mark 92 might be fair enough. But he is going up to 6 furlongs. As I said, without pricing, without actually going through it all. And
yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. And
he,
same for you, Rory.
Keep an eye on, all right, though.
I couldn't really tackle it without prices. I thought that Jungle Fever might be overpriced, given that he appears to have the worst of the draw. I'd install one, but I thought he might step up on recent efforts, and I thought actually being drawn there might be beneficial to him. But he's run a couple of poor races since his winning at Brighton, and I'd need a biggish price to get involved.
Should be. Look, we're guessing, but with Frankie booked for another Charlie Mark Johnson horse, like usually, but then again, Charlie Mark Johnson, right? I mean, anyway, right. So keep an eye out on those prices there regarding Jungle Fever and the 14 horse in that 4:45, which I'm sure there'll be an extra place as well. And the one that you thought, Frank, is worth at least looking at was a Bolt Action?
Bolt Action. I imagine Bolt Action. Near enough the top of the mark, but the way the Windsor Castle has been working out, yeah. I did like him going to that. He was very impressed with debut at Leicester. And Mark 92 might underestimate him, but instead I'd need to price it and kind of see.
That's fine. That's fine. A top weight in the nursery. We haven't trotted out that cliche in a while, so we'll throw that in there. He's top weight in the nursery. They usually go well. Okay, yeah, there you go. The Galway card on the Friday night, we kind of pass obviously the two big features, but we do have the race for the horse is not quite good enough to get into the plate. That is the Galway Blazers. It's always really competitive. It's an 80 grand race. It should be. Frank, you did have one for us in this. We've got the Irish National winner of past years for you, Ian and Dylan, at the top of the weights. I assume you're not going in though.
No, it's a very good race again. Yeah. Look, Busselton, I imagine, will be top of the market, or or very close to it, if not. He was batted out of the plate. Would have been near top of the market for that as well. Look, he ran a cracker, went second to El Barra at the Punchtown Festival of America of 138. He's only gone up 2 pounds for that. He was second in a beginner's chase here last year behind Grand Bernard. You know, he had some solid form through the year. He won a Punchtown Novice Chase, beating Indiana Jones, was second to Ciel de Niege, was tried in a grade one company, wasn't good enough for that. But back in the handicap of Punchtown, as I said, he ran really well. He's had 2 runs on the flat to keep him ticking over. He's bound to go close and won it. It's going to be a wild price, and this is very likely to run stink, but I'd give one more go to Montpellier for Barry Connell. Oh, look, he's very lightly raced 9-year-old. Was good enough to contest a grade two as a novice chaser back in 2019 after bolting up here in a novice chase. He was really impressed today. He won here. He was second in bumpers to the likes of the Big Dog and Carefully Selected. He's shown nothing since returning from injury, but I thought that getting back to Galway, an informed claimer taking £7 off, might see him bounce back. A mark of 131, if he did bounce back, is very workable. And as I said, he could be a wild price.
A trainer had a winner with Enniscarry Scary on the Tuesday night, didn't he? Yeah, Barry Connell, trainer owner, of course.
Downed my nap, didn't it?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Midnight Run.
Went very short in the run.
Yeah, sure, it did. I was watching RT coverage and poor Jane Mangan, who's hosting. And it's a very difficult job, folks, to host a show when you've got talent, you know, coming at you all ways. But she was like, oh, and Barry Connell, yeah, he wrote out his claim. And Ted Walsh was very quick to pull up. Hang on there now. No, Jane, he did not. No, what did he say? He said, if he wrote out his claim, you can call me Moby Dick. And of course, live on RT television. And Jane came back from the break and said, I will not be able to call Ted Walsh Moby Dick because he did not write out his claim. But Barry Connell, as said, puts a lot of money into the game. Interesting to see how Montpellier goes, but to the main pick, Busselton. And also a reminder, Ruby Walsh on the Thursday podcast gave us a nap for Friday. And that's MC Muldoon. It runs in the 8:10 on Friday evening. Colin Keane, I see, is booked for that conditions event. It's a conditions event over 1.6 miles. Interesting little race there. There's 8 declared. I'd be surprised if all 8 run, but
Did Rory have something in the Blazers there? He looked
Rory.
Yeah, I think you can probably tell from my reaction. I should be having an interest in Montpellier.
Oh, really? As well?
I was reminded when watching Enniscarry Carey bolt up, I thought, Barry Connell seems very keen to have his horses absolutely spot on for this. Looked at the entries and saw him in there and thought, right, he'll be bouncing back to form. And that Enniscarry was really impressive. It just looked to be absolutely spot on. And that kind of suggests that, you know, it wasn't a one-off. And I'd expect that this horse, for all he's got a patchy profile, might be putting his best foot forward here.
Okay, right. I'm actually very intrigued to see. Are you pricing that race up, Frank? No?
No, I'm intrigued to see.
Say nothing about it, Frank.
Don't you be talking to any of your buddies, any of those robust discussions that you have. Lads, thanks very much for Lead Your Best Bet on Friday. I will go to you, Rory, first, as promised today. I'm going to go to you first.
You see, and I'm not even ready for my best bet on Friday. Okay. I've forgotten completely what's running. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to go. I'm going to keep it simple and go with Hold and the Goodwood Stakes.
With Hold and Flash the Goodwood Handicap. Are we going win only? He's an each way prize.
Oh, but yeah. It doesn't have to be an each way prize. He's either gonna burst these from the front or you know, he might struggle into the frame. But my reading of this race suggests that if I'm right, he should be a clear winner.
Lovely. All right, Frank Hickey's been all halfway around the world on that horse, but he's not tipping up. Frank, your best bet on Friday?
It's torn between Rebel Territory and Berkshire Shadow. I'll go Berkshire Shadow.
Berkshire Shadow, and that is in the Richmond. No, the
225.
The 225, which is the Thurbit Stakes, isn't it? Or is this as it's called now? Yeah, the Thurbit Stakes Group 3. Whilst Rory's selection comes in the Goodwood Handicap, 150. Right, so that's 150 and 225. We'll know early how we're getting on. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I'm taking Friday off, so our good pal Tom Nugent will be back in the saddle tomorrow to look ahead to the weekend racing. You'll be looking ahead to Stewart's Cup Day. Oh, Rory, have you already got a fair idea what you're going to be tipping on Stewart's Cup? You don't have to
reveal. Well, again, I was asked to write an Andy Post piece last week for the field, so I've thrown one in there, and I've convinced myself with the figures I dug out
that
he has to be thereabouts.
Okay, lovely. Well,
you
stay
can find
tuned
out on Friday.
You can indeed. Well,
I think, well, I think unless all the fancy prices in the next 2 days.
Unless you read last week's Irish Field, then you know what it is.
Indeed.
All right. So,
yeah. I just want to make sure I don't price it up before, and Rory, because we seem to be on the same wavelength the last day.
Are you pricing Stewart's Cup, Frank?
I will be, but it'll be Friday.
All right. All fair. You can tell each other, right? Right. Listen, lads, thanks very much. Tom's in the hot seat tomorrow. Enjoy the bank holiday weekend here in Ireland. If you are heading anywhere nice, enjoy it. Back to you, winners. Other than that, we will talk to you Friday and then next week.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.